Bruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Yisroi, the time of Kabbalah HaTorah, Nasa V'Nishma, Har Sinai. Parsha Insights this week is sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas, U'Le'ilui Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, Bezos Hashem, may their Neshama Torahs have a lichtige Gan Eden. As always, I'm so grateful. A milim befila habia rikshei levovi to even express how grateful I am to those in the Heichal who are seeing and hearing the shiur live, those who are hearing it on the phone as we speak, and to the many who listen once it's sent out. Please remember, besides getting chizuk from the parsha, it should bring added beauty to our Shabbos Kodesh. I ask so often, please, chazer the pshatim, share the pshatim, say the pshatim from Parsha Insights, and may it bring added beauty and kedusha to our Shabbos Kodesh. I want to dedicate the shiur this week not only to Parshas Yisroi, but also tomorrow night and the next day, Thursday, is Tu B'Shvat. And Tu B'Shvat is certainly an extraordinary day. We speak about the tree vis-a-vis the parents, the fruits vis-a-vis the children. And there's certainly a lot to say about the Ilanos, one of the Rosh Hashanahs that's spoken about in the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah. So I'd like to find a common theme, although there are many, between both the Parsha and Tu B'Shvat. And I didn't know what to do for the following pshat I just heard today from the Heilige Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem. The Heilige Pnei Menachem Zechusu Yagad Aleinu. It's such a powerful pshat. And so I was thinking, ah, what a pshat to end the shiur with. But I was thinking, ah, what a pshat to start the shiur with. So maybe the only way to make the decision is to start it in the beginning and to do it at the end. My father, Zatzal, used to tell over a maisa that there was a person who was looking to have business in his shop, but business just wasn't happening. He did notice when he walked down a particular street that there was a store that seemed to be doing tremendous business. And he noticed that the fellow who seemed to be doing so fabulously well had a sign over his store, Yer Zaidi. And the sign said, grand opening. He said, oh, hello, maybe that's the secret to success. A couple of days later, he was walking down a different street, and he saw another store that was doing fabulously well, and he noticed that the sign above that store was going out of business. And that person was doing amazingly well. So he said, why should I settle for one? The first one was doing great. The second one was doing great. I want to do doubly great. So upon his store, he had two signs, grand opening, and right under it, going out of business. And my father, Zatzal, used to certainly say that humorous story to explain. Very often we hear about a topic and we want it to be our grand opening. Don't let it be a going out of business. Let it be a grand opening where we try to keep to that which we speak about. And certainly the topic that we've chosen tonight, where it should be Zaycha, that it will be a grand opening on many different levels, but not a going out of business. And so the pshat that I was going to conclude with, I think it's apropos that we start with it, but it is so powerful. It is so powerful around the Heilige Pnei Menachem. I think that the Gemara, that is most associated with Tu B'Shvat is obviously the Gemara in Tainus Daf Hei Amud Beis. Elon, Elon, with what can I possibly give you a bracha? Of course, we know it's also a famous song. Please keep in mind, Rabbi Isai, that the Gemara was well before the song. And the song is from the Gemara. I'll quickly read you the Gemara, although I do believe it might be the most well-known Gemara vis-a-vis Tu B'Shvat. The Gemara tells us a moshel of what type of bracha to give to a person. A person, haya ro'e v'oyev etzomeh, he was hungry, he was tired, he was thirsty, and he came upon a tree that had the most beautiful sweet fruit. It had incredibly pleasant shade. It had under it a stream of water that was flowing beneath it. He ate the fruits, he drank the water, he enjoyed the shade. And when he wanted to leave, he said, Elon, Elon, bamo avarechecha, tree, tree, how can I give you a bracha? What should I say to you? Am I merechashiyu peresecha mesukim? Should I tell you that you should have fruits that are sweet? You have the sweetest fruit already. What should I say? You should have shade that's pleasant. You have tremendously pleasant shade. That a stream of water should flow beneath you. You already have that. So what could I possibly give you a bracha? You have seemingly everything. You have the shade, you have the water, you have the fruit. Ella yehi ratzain shekol nitiyah shenaitin imcha yiyu kemaischa. The best bracha I can give you is that your offspring and your shoots that are planted and come from you, let it be like you. And that's, of course, a bracha that we reference when we speak about Tu B'Shvat. We daven for our children. We daven for our Einik Lach. It should be noted fabulously. If you take a look behind me on the Pareiches, it says, V'hasne einenu ukal. Now, that was just from a few weeks ago. That was in Parsha Shemais when Moshe Rabbeinu was by the Sneh. The Sneh did not burn. It didn't get consumed. V'hasne einenu ukal. It's a pasuk from Parsha Shemais, and I point to it behind me here in the Heichel because it's on our Pareiches. So there's a beautiful explanation. Our grandchildren are called our Einiklach. Etymologically, where does that word Einiklach come from? It comes from those two words about the Sneh, the burning bush, Einenu Ukal. Einenu Ukal means it wasn't consumed. If you say those two words, Einenu Ukal, quite rapidly, Einenu Ukal, it'll really sound very similar to the word Einikol. For through our Einiklach, our grandchildren and future generations, Einenu Ukal, we won't be consumed. Meaning, Be'ezrus Hashem, there will be a Hemshech HaDeiris, there will be a perpetuation, there will be a continuity. And so etymologically, the word Einikol may very well come from the words Einenu Ukal. For through our Einiklach and our descendants and our generations, Einenu Ukal, we won't be consumed, there will be a Hemshech HaDeiris. And that's really what takes place on Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat deals with a tree. The tree represents the Elon, which is the parents. The Peres, the sweet fruits, represent the children. So what could this man who benefited from the fruit and from the shade and from the water possibly say? The greatest brach I can give the tree is Shekol HaPeres Shenaitim Chayu Kemaischa. May the shoots and may the fruit and may the generations be like you. In other words, a bracha that the children and the Einiklach should be'ezrus Hashem go in the proper path, the path that will be'ezrus Hashem bring a nachas to Klal Yisrael, and of course a nachas to the Bere Yoyim. It's every parent and grandparent's wish. Today I heard from the Pnei Menachem something so spectacular on the Gemara that we just referenced. The bracha was to be given to the tree. The tree representing the parents. How can I give you a bracha? Should I give you a bracha about your fruit? Should I give you a bracha about your shade? Should I give you a bracha about the stream of water beneath you? Really, if you think about it, the first two we could readily understand. Those are indeed something that's applicable to the tree, which of course the tree is a metaphor for the parent. The fruit is from the tree. The shade, it's from the tree. But the stream of water that flows beneath it, at first glance, the stream of water that flows beneath it, that doesn't have to do with the tree per se. The fruits do. The shade does. There is a stream of water that passes beneath it that the person benefited from. That's true. But what, pray tell, does the stream of water that flows beneath the tree have to do with the tree per se? And the Pnei Menachem Zuchus Yagon Aleinu says so powerfully, the stream of water that's beneath the tree, those are tears. The stream of water that flows by the tree is represented. We speak about tefillah, we speak about davening for our children, but tears, cry for them. We benchlicht Friday night, v'zakeini l'gadol bonim, cry tears. And we'll speak quite a bit, multiple pshatim, about the power of tefillah and specifically the power of tears. But the way I understood the Pnei Menachem, he says, the water that flows beneath the tree has everything to do with the tree. That water that's flowing beneath the tree, that water, those are tears. Those are tears that the parents for years and generations have shed and have cried. We know the famous quote, the Kotzker Rebbe says, "Ein davar shalem kelev nishbar." There's nothing as whole as a broken heart. With a broken heart, we daven. With a broken heart, we shed tears. And when you cry and you cry, those tears create a river of water that flows beneath the tree. And it's those tears that enable the tree to be'ezras Hashem have such beautiful shade and such luscious fruit. And in an extraordinary way, that's the way that Pnei Menachem is Masbir, that the stream of water that passes under the tree is certainly the most integral ingredient to the tree, for it represents the water of tears. Tears that a parent davens for a child, that grandparents daven for Einikloch, that one person davens for another. There's a powerful pshat from the Rebbe Rabbuna Miparshischa that he says, the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, says, Miyayim Shechara Beis HaMikdash, since the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed, Ninalu Sharei Tfila, sometimes the gates of Tfila are closed. But the Gemara continues and says, Miyapo Pisha Sharei Tfila, it's interesting, that's the name of our shul, sometimes, although the gates of tefillah are closed, in fact, this past week, we quoted and we brought down in the news and shmooze a fabulous dvartoy from the Archaim HaKadosh based on the Zayar. Allow me to take 30 seconds to go ahead and quickly remind you. You read the dvartoyra. It's an Archaim HaKadosh that many people were speaking about. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Mitzri and Parshas B'Shalach are chasing Klal Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jews are davening, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Matzi Tzakelai, why do you cry out to me? And the question is obvious. Who should you daven to, if not the Ribbono Shel Olam? In times of distress, Min HaMeitzer Karasi Ka, we do turn to Hashem to daven. So why is the Ribbono Shel Olam saying, what does he mean with those words? Masi tzakelai, why do you call out to me? That's what a Yid does when they're facing a dangerous situation or distress. The Archaim HaKadosh says, based on the Zohar, what the Pasuk means is, you read this, we spoke about this past week. Midas HaRachamim said, let's save the Jews. Midas HaDin said, no, we shouldn't save them because they're no different than the Egyptians. They also worshipped Avodah Zarah. So it's at that point that the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Klal Yisrael, Masi Tzakelai, why do you daven to me? Stop davening. Meaning at this point, davening alone will not be effective. Davening will not be effective. You have to do something tangibly. You have to do a maisa. You have to do something concretely. I want you to show complete emunah and implicit trust in me, which is, of course, what Nachshon Ben Aminodav did from Shevet Yehuda, willing to jump into the Yamsuf when it was a raging sea. That emunah, that implicit trust and faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, was the act that allowed our tefillahs to be answered. What a powerful Archaim HaKadosh based on the Zohar. Stop davening, because right now the tefillahs will not be effective because you need to do something Lemaisa. So certainly you see, like the Gemara in Bracha says, there are times that the Sharei Tefillah are indeed closed. However, the Gemara then says, Sharei Dima, but the gates of tears, and we just spoke so lovingly from the Halakha of Pnei Menachem, the importance of Mayim Mayzeres Taktel, cry and cry and cry, shed tears for the children, don't stop crying. Don't stop crying. Sharei Dima Loinin Alu. Those gates are not closed. It's a Gemara. Brachas of Lamed Beis Amed Beis. So the obvious question is, and I know you've already figured it out, if the gates of Dima'is are never closed, then why do you have gates at all? The purpose of a gate is to go ahead and to shut in, to close. But if the gates and the tears, excuse me, the Shahi Demois are loy ninalu, they're never closed or locked, then why do you have gates in the first place? Meira dekakasha. The Halakha Rebbe Rabbuna Miparshischa says, and I want to quote as it's brought down in my father's Sefer Ibn Mordechai so powerfully, there are gates. I hope you appreciate the profundity as parents of the answer. The Rebbe Rabbuna says, there are gates. because they are to be ma'akev, to hold back demo'i shel sheker, false tears, falsha tears, tears that are not sincere, false tears, they are not allowed privilege to enter. And what does he say that's a reference to? And I quote, demo'i shel shtus. If a person cries over something of shtus, something of silly, a reason that they shouldn't cry, almost similar, by the way, to the Gemara that we just taught in Saita, where the Gemara in Saita says that Hashem says about the night of Tisha B'Av to the Meraglim, you cried for no reason, I'll give you a reason to cry. And that became Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the first and second Batei HaMikdash. Tears of shtus, and I'm quoting from my father's Sefer, when a person cries, Boicha al dvarim she'em roi livkoi saleim, about something that's not worthy to cry for, those are tears of shtus. For that you cried? Those tears of shtus. Those tears, al dvarim she'ena ro'i livkoi saleim, those are called tears of shtus, dema'i shel sheker, and there are gates to lock out those tears. The tears that we have to emanate and cry from a lev nishbar, from the depths, have to be the tears of emes, tears for the proper thing, tears for our children and our enikluch success. I hope we all, and all those who are in the Heichel and are listening live, will hear the recording, we've said it already twice, appreciate the depth and the profundity of the pshat of the Rebbe Rabbeinu Miparshischa, Meirai V'Rabbeisai. The reason our gates by tears is because tears of sheker, tears of shtus, tears about things that we should not be crying about, those tears are locked. They just are totally discounted. Tears of emes, tears that we should be crying for proper things and for our children, those are the tears that are allowed in. You may remember a number of years ago I said over such an incredible story that I know Rabbi Pesach Kroni should continue having a refuah shelema. He brings down such an amazing story, and I have the schus to give an addendum to his story. Bekitzur, the maisa that Rabbi Pesach Shlita brings down so powerfully, our Pesach Hadar today, Maran Rabbi Moshe Sternbach, Zoler Gesund und Stark sein, Lekayem Bonu Chachme Yisrael. Rabbi Moshe Sternbach, 80 plus years ago, he was a teenager. And when he was a teenager, his class, his shir, went to the great Chabiner Goin to have a test. Listen to a maisa within a maisa that could mamish take your breath away. And then you'll understand what it means to cry tears of emes, proper tears. And for those tears, the gates are never closed. And he was being tested together with the rest of his class by the Heilige Chabiner Goin. And the questions were coming quickly and fast. And at one point, an extremely difficult question was asked. And this teenager, Moshe Sternbach, today our Pesach Hadar, gave a dazzling answer. Everybody was silent. And the Chabiner leaned forward and he said, that answer is not your answer. And naturally, like I'm looking at your faces here in the Heichel, there was stunned silence. What do you mean that it wasn't my answer? And everybody was looking, what did he mean? And again, that answer was not your answer. And after a few seconds of silence, the Chabiner explained, and he told the teenager, Moshe Sternbach, that answer is your mother's answer. If you could give such a dazzling teretz to the kasha at your young age, that's your mother's answer. It must be that your mother, Friday night by Lichbench, is a keni legado bon in tears and tears. Demois, don't stop crying. Mayim ayveres tachteha. That's a tree that makes pears. That is your mother's answer. It's a credit to your mother, Mr. Sternbach. If you came up with that answer, it's because of your mother. What a powerful answer, proving what the Pnei Menachem says about Mayim Averes Tachteha, tears, proving what the Gemara in Bracha says, that for pure tears, Shari Dima Leinin Alu. What's the story within the story? A number of years after I had heard that story, I was zeich on one trip to be in Vilna. It was actually together with our Gadol Hador, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, Zoller Gesundum Stark Zayin, Lekayim Bonu Chachme Yisrael. I remember in the afternoon around Shalashudas time, Vilna Shabbos in that summer, it ended so late at night, maybe 11, 11:30. So I was around Shalashudas time, late in the evening, I was giving a shir on tefillah. And all of a sudden, when I'm about to start the shir, who do I see as mamish sitting in the front? None other than the Gadol Hador, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. I didn't know what to do. How am I going to start a shir? Reb Shmuel sitting there. I said, what's the Rosh Hashiva doing at the shir? He said to me, isn't it about tefillah? And I said, yes. I'll never forget his words. This was over 15 years ago. He said, everybody needs chizuk and tefillah. Everybody needs chizuk and tefillah. And I actually gave the shir with Reb Shmuel sitting there. And I said over this story that I just told you with the Tribina, when I finished the story, an elderly Yid from Basel, his name was Goldschmidt, he came over to me and he said, I want to tell you a story, and this is the story he told me. He was just at a Yarchi Kala where Rav Dunner, a brother to Dayan Dunner, was speaking about their elderly father, Rav Dunner Sr., who was decades a Rav in London. And this is the story that Goldschmidt told me, that he heard Rav Dunner say from the father, the elderly Rav Dunner, that there was a group that came to the elderly Rav Dunner and said to him, there's a woman, you have to ask her to leave, because in the Ezra's Noshim, when she davens, it's with such bechiyot and such tears, and it could mamish disturb our davening, you have to ask her to leave. And after they registered their complaint, the elderly Rav Dunner said, fine, fine, I hear your complaint, I'll certainly ask her to leave. I heard this word for word from Mr. Goldschmidt from Basel, who told it to me after coming from the Yarchi Kala. And he said to them who registered the complaint about this woman, you know, you just have to ask her, the crying, the bechias, the demois, it's too much, ask her to leave. He said, okay, I listen, I hear your complaint, I'll ask her to leave. And then he quickly added an addendum. And if she leaves, I'm leaving. Find yourself a new Rav. Because in this shul, in this base tefillah, we need her tefillah. He said, if you want to ask her to leave, let her leave, but I'm leaving as well. Case closed, case dismissed. They didn't ask her to leave, and the Rav remained. And then Mr. Goldschmidt from Basel told me, and who was this woman? Who was this woman about the elderly Rav Dunner said, we need her in our shul? What was this woman's name? It was none other than Mrs. Sternbach. The same Mrs. Sternbach about which the Tribuner had said that Reb Moshe Sternbach as a teenager could give the answer because that's your mother's answer. Mr. Goldschmidt from Basel told me that he heard in the name of the elderly Rav Dunner that who was that woman that he said, we need her, we need her demise, we need those tears to get into Shari Dima Leiminalu. Who was that woman? It was the very same Mrs. Sternbach. Now, obviously, one thing has to be mentioned before we take this to the next level, and I want to bring you a beautiful proof to it, or at least what I think is, from another posting in this week's parsha. We don't know when those tears are answered. We don't know how they're answered, when, or for whom. But one thing I remember when my father Zatzal would speak about Ne'ilah, it says a very powerful Yehi Ratzon. Yehi Ratzon Shetosim Demaisenu Benoit Chalias. We ask Hashem, please may it be your favorable will that you take our tears and place them in a flask. But it's interesting. It says Shetosim Demaisenu Benoit Chalias. To be is like a word that's dangling. To be, what does that mean? And my father, that's how I would explain so beautifully, there's no tear that ever goes le'ibud. Never, ever, ever is there a tear that's lost. We don't know exactly when it's answered and for whom it's answered and how it's answered, but every tear is answered. And that's what it means. Sometimes the tear will be answered now, and sometimes will be placed in a flask, lihiyais, for a different time, a different generation, a different person. But one thing we are guaranteed, there's no tear that ever goes li'ibud. So for tears that are sheker, tears that are shtus, tears that you're crying, over that you're crying? For that, the gates are locked. That's why there are gates. But for tears of emes, tears like Mrs. Sternbach, for that, the gate is never closed. So now I'd like to take this concept to what I think is the next level. I think there's another powerful reason, I don't even think powerful does it justice, why we have to cry for the right thing and not chalila tears of shtus. Perhaps, obviously, besides the reason the power of the tears, Ein Davar Shalem Kilev Nishbar, allow me to add quickly one more thought from the Kotzker Rebbe. Next week is the Yartzeit, I believe it's the 22nd of Shvat, next Thursday, the Yartzeit of the Heilige Kotzker Rebbe, Zechusi Yogan Aleinu, the Pasuk of Shir HaMalais, the Tehillim says, Kuf Lamed, Shir HaMalais Mimamakim Kerasicha Hashem, says the Heilige Kotzker Rebbe, Shir HaMalais, which shear is the one that goes up, and could be by Kaya Lemala, Agla, Pamaya Shamala? Which shear is Hamalos? Which one goes up and up and up and up? Which tefillah, which tear, which prayer is it? Mimamakim. A tefillah that comes mimamakim, a tefillah that comes from the depths, from the Eimek HaNeshama, from the depths of your soul, from the depths of your nefesh, from the pinimius of your nefesh and neshama. That is one that's oila and goes the highest. That's the way the Kotzker Rebbe explains. Shir HaMalos, which shir, which prayer, which tear goes highest? Mimamakim, the one that comes from the Eimek HaNefesh, the Eimek HaNeshama, from the pinimius, which is really what we said from the Rebbe, Rabbeinu Miparshischa, don't make tears of shtus, tears of sheker. For that you're crying? Make them tears of emes. But I do think, as I said already a moment ago, there's an added dimension why you have to cry for the right thing. And I think perhaps this could be the pasuk when speaking about Har Sinai in this week's parsha in Shvi'i. The opening pasuk of Shvi'i says, V'chol ha'om royim es ha'kailais. Listen to this pshat. V'chol ha'om royim es ha'kailais. All of the nation, the entire people of Bnei Yisrael, saw the kailos. They saw the thunder. And of course, we know thunder is normally heard, not seen. One of the miracles of Kabbalah HaTorah, of the revelation at Har Sinai, was royim es ha-kailos, that they saw what's normally heard, i.e. the thunder. I was thinking in preparing tonight's shir, the importance of davening, the importance of tears, the importance of mimamakim, besides the added effectiveness to your tefillah, maybe there's another reason. We're sending a message to our children and to our family, and they're looking to see what we cry about. We've got to be brutally honest with ourselves. Our children, our einikoch, look to see what gets us upset? What is it that bothers us? What is it that my father or my mother cries about? They cry because something got dirty, or something broke, or something didn't go exactly as planned on a trip, or whatever it is. Is that the message that we're sending them, that that's worthy of crying of? Or are they getting the message that what gets to us, what bothers us, what we cry about is the success of our children, the purity of our family, the ruchnius of our family? Maybe that's the way to read these words. By Kabbalah Satayah, by Har Sinai, the Pasuk says, V'chol ha'am, Hashem says, I want you to know, the whole nation, all the children, Rayim es ha'koylois, they're watching your call. Your call, your tefillah, your tears, they're looking to see what is it that you cry about. As we quoted from the Gemara, are they demois of shtus and sheker, or are they the type of tears of mayim oiveres tachteha? So I think, I don't even know if I would say drush, but maybe that's another way to read these words by Kabbalah HaTorah. V'chol ha'am, everyone is looking, royim es ha'kailos, they're looking to see what is it you have a kol about. What is it that you krechs about? What is it that bothers you? What is it that your tears are about? Royim es ha-kailos. It cannot be said more clearly or emphatically. Our children, our einak loch, royim, they look to see our kailos, our voice, our tefillos, our tears. What is it that gets us down? are they tears about things that we should think like, for that I'm crying, and I just sent the message to my child that that's like important? Or are they seeing that it's a coup, something mimamakim, that we're truly crying for their success or for our success or for the purity of the family? I do believe that's another critical reason why we have to make sure that our demois and the things that get to us, so to speak, have to be for the proper ruchniyistic reasons. Why? Royim es hakailos, because they are watching and looking to see what is our kol all about. What is it that gets us? What's our ikar? What means so much to us? And in conclusion, take a look at the last pasuk in the parsha. The pasuk tells us, "V'leisale v'malos al mizbechi," you should not go ahead by my mizbeach and ascend on steps. And indeed, we know that Rashi, the pasuk, explains the mizbeach, as my hand is indicating, was a ramp. And Rashi explains the reason that was a ramp is because if it would be a step, which means the feet would be taking a large gate, a large step, it would perhaps reveal to the stone the erva. See Rashi and the explanation. It was done for purposes of tznius. But I just want to conclude with this beautiful pshat that my father Zatzal said countless times. I think it ties the shir together. When we're looking for the power of tefillah, the power of tears, the power of concern, we must remember this concluding pshat. V'leisal v'malos al mizbechi literally means that when it comes to my mizbech, when it comes to my altar, don't have steps, and I just told you Rashi says why not, but rather only a ramp. My father Zatzal explained so powerfully, going up the Mizbeach is a metaphor for your climbing in Avodas Hashem. You're striving to be better today than yesterday and tomorrow than today, and next week better than this week, and next month better than this month. It's your striving in Avodas Hashem. Don't climb your personal Mizbeach like a step. Because the problem with the step is, although there's the up part, but there's also the part where your foot lands on, that's where you plateau. That's where you stagnate. At that point, there's no growth. There's no growth where your foot rests on the platform of each step. That represents that you are simply not going up. You're not moving. At that point, you are remaining the same. When one is striving to go up their personal Mizbeach, it has to be not like a step, but rather like a ramp, which he explains so powerfully, is the midah of timidius, constantly and consistently going up. You're right. It might only be small steps, pisiyos ketanos, small, incremental steps. It might be a small kabbalah, a small step, a small turn, one small step. However, it's in the right direction. And so my father's Zatzal explains so beautifully, when you're ascending your personal mizbeach, when you're looking for greatness, when you're looking to improve, when you're looking to make your avodas Hashem better, don't do it in the fashion of a step, because a step represents that there are parts where you just don't grow, where you remain the same. Rather, do it like a ramp, because a ramp represents, might be small, but it's gradual and incremental progress going up and up and up and up and up until you make it to the top of your Mizbeach. I think what we have to remember, not only Parshas Yisro, Kabbalas HaTorah, but Tu B'Shvat, where we daven for ourselves and for our children, is to remember the value of Pisiyos Ketanos, the small steps. Sometimes we may get overwhelmed with the larger, more grand picture, if you will. We have to remind ourselves and remind our children that the pisiyos ketanos, the small steps, a small kabbalah, I might take upon myself to do this a little bit better, that a little bit better, and it might be a small kabbalah, but it is those pisiyos ketanos, the small steps, one after another, that will eventually allow us to come to the top of our personal mizbeach. please realize the grand, incredible, enormous importance of Pesiyos Ketanos. May we be Zaycha, Ilan, Ilan, Bama Avarechacha. The best brach I can give is, of course, that all of your payers be as sweet as you would like, and all of the shade will be as pleasant as you would like. Of course, I'm referring to your Einiklach, your Einenu Ukal, your children, your Einiklach, your Hemshech Hadayris. But remember that Pnei Menachem said that comes from Mayim Oiveres Tachteho, the stream of tears, the torrent of tears, the broken heart, the Shari Demois, for the right and correct reasons. May all of those tears and all of those tefillos be shir hamalos. May they be answered. So we zoiches Elon, Elon, to see beautiful gesunte yiddish nachas from all of our payrais.